Conservative. Constitutional. It's the Andrew Cooper Writer Show, keeping you informed on what's going on right here in Kentucky.
Today on the Andrew Cooper Writer Show, we're going to venture a bit into national politics, but don't worry, we're still staying Kentucky-centric as I go over an event I attended over the weekend where Rand Paul called out Ukraine funding as a middle finger to America. And at the same event, Andy Barr, who, by the way, voted for the funding, proceeded to speak directly after that video statement. I'll go over on just how what happened there, and the crowd's response points to not just an interesting dynamic going on in the Republican Party as far as factions go, but also how it shows us about what's wrong with many other parts of our politics when it comes to how people vote, how people think. I'll also be going over some of the other speeches that elected officials gave at the event, and I'll have more on that and everything else and a lot more here today on the Andrew Cooper Show. But first, we have a story of witchcraft, that's right, get your pitchforks, coming out of Clark County, Kentucky. I'll go over that, so we're going to have a little bit more here on that later on. But I wanted real quick, as always, to encourage others to be active and to take a role in helping conservatism win here in Kentucky. And you can do that in many ways. One is by volunteering your time to great local level candidates, money, expertise, but making sure you're giving those to those local level candidates. Your big national candidates, generally speaking, most of the time, especially if they're the incumbents that you want to support, they got millions in the bank. Your support doesn't matter as much as it may to a local magistrate, city council race, state house rep, state senator race. Your assistance, your volunteering can make a lot bigger difference in those races than it ever will in a national race, and make a lot bigger difference on the outcomes of your life and how policies affect you. But you can also help by communicating on important issues with your state and local level politicians, making sure they know just how you feel. And then finally, you can, as always, engage with the show. Leave a review if you're listening on the podcast platforms. Reviews do help. Share the show with others through text or social media posts. And you can also reach out to the show by visiting theandrewshow.com. I did get a listener question from a Giannis over the weekend, and Giannis said that he lives, I'm assuming it's a he, lives in Jefferson County, Louisville, and wanted to know who to vote for in his state level elections. And I want to answer your question, Giannis, and I wanted to let you know that I will be answering that for you though tomorrow. But I thought this might be another good moment or chance for me to engage with my listeners. So I want you all to let me know as I'm working through the next couple of weeks leading up to those primary elections on the 21st. Let me know if there's any more local level elections at the state house or state senate that you would like me to weigh in on. The more hyper local elections, such as your magistrates or county councils, even sometimes your local judges, I may not know your local level issues as well as the state issues, so I won't be as maybe necessarily helpful with being able to wade through the issues with them, who you should vote for there. But if I get several requests on the same races at the state level, I'll reach out to those candidates and ask for them to come on for a candidate forum / debate of sorts. I can challenge them with some hard questions, and trust me, I can put some candidates through the hoops as we figure out what they stand for. I actually had an interesting interaction over the weekend with a candidate running for office. He came up to me and to ask for my support or to engage with me on his election. And I started to ask him some questions and discuss some of his viewpoints. In this case, it was on gambling and the way that it's handled in the state. And those of you who listen to the show know I'm very well versed in many state level issues. And the candidate quickly realized that as they wandered into a conversation with an individual and they were not prepared for it, because as they listed out their positions, I was able to challenge them. And our conversation devolved into me bringing up things like Keeneland and Churchill Downs P&L reports, which kind of went outside the parameters for what I think that candidate was expecting. So if you want to hear some candidates get asked those hard, hard questions, reach out to The Andrew Show, The Andrew Cooperwriter Show, by going to theandrewshow.com. You can click the contact tab there, theandrewshow.com, or you can email info@theandrewshow.com with your requests. And as I said, if it's apparent there's a large amount of interest in one race or another, I will ask those candidates to come on the show. I can't promise they will answer, but I will ask. But once again, Giannis, I will answer your question tomorrow. So now on to witchcraft. Exciting. So I was scrolling the old worldwide waste of web of time on the web there, and I came across an article from LEX18 with the title of "Clark County Business Accused of Witchcraft. Owner says it's not true. They are not a witch." Now, I could tell from the comments that no one listened to the story or read the article, but with a title like that, and of course the comments then that were on it, you would think that what happened was all the town folk got together, they grabbed their torches, they grabbed up their pitchforks, lit the torches, and went to this store trying to burn it down, and with a witch inside, or tie her to a stake and burn her down like we did in Salem. But that's not really what happened here at all. In fact, the actual story is far more reasonable, mundane, and almost a non-story at all. But with that in mind, we'll take a look. Now, this story is about 3 minutes long. We're going to work through it. I'm going to do a start-stop kind of commentary, so we're going to play some parts of it, and I'll go through some things about it. So let's start off here, LEX18 news story. Let's start and see how they begin this off here.
Good evening, I'm Megan Mannering.
And I'm Larry Smith-Gladger. With us, a Clark County business that will celebrate its one-year anniversary in June got some unexpected backlash this month. The Crystal Coven Mystic College has been accused of practices that its owner says simply aren't true.
LEX18's Rachel Richardson sat down with the owner and a local pastor who attended a community meeting yesterday. She takes us to Winchester in tonight's big story at 6.
I have a multitude of stones, crystals, jewelry, incense, herbs, spices, teas.
Crystal Coven Mystic Cottage has been in Winchester for a while.
Now, you may notice that, of course, when they first introduced it, they really kind of botched the name of the store. And then at the end there, they kind of mentioned it. But that's the last time they're going to mention the name of this store. And I want to point it out to you because the name of this completely non, they promise, witchcraft store is the Crystal Coven Mystic Cottage. Now, there might be a reason they're mispronouncing the name or just kind of trying to not mention it. I don't think you'll hear it ever again in the entire rest of the story. The entire story is about this store, won't get talked about, because they're hoping you kind of ignore what the place is called. Because remember, the headline here is that a business is being accused of witchcraft, but the owner says it's not true. And the crux of that story, and we know this from the headline, would be then that the people are completely crazy to even think that she would be practicing witchcraft. So why would hiding the name be important then to their story? Well, perhaps it's because we already know we're in for a doozy of a dishonest story when the name of the shop tells us exactly what's going on in there. So, the Crystal Coven Mystic College. We know what the words crystal means. We know what the word the means. But what about the word coven and mystic? What are the definitions to those words and how does that blow a hole in this entire story? Well, we'll be going over that and covering the rest of this fascinating story after this short break. You're listening to The Andrew Cooperwriter Show, your source for Kentucky politics. And you are back with the Andrew Cooperwriter Show, your source for Kentucky politics. So, before the break, we are talking about this headline from LEX18. Clark County business accused of witchcraft. Owner says it's not true. And we were exploring the name of the store, the Crystal Coven Mystic Cottage. And we know what the words the and crystal means, but what about the word coven and mystic? Well, when we checked the old dictionary, very helpful, So according to the definitions from Oxford, and that's the service Google uses. So if you Google definition of the word coven, what you'll find is the definition of the word coven, a group or gathering of witches who meet regularly. Well, that kind of blows a hole in the hole we promise we're not practicing witchcraft in here when a word in the title of the store literally means a gathering of witches. Now, I want you to remember the word mystic is also in the name of the place as well, because we're going to be referencing that a little bit later on. So we already know we're not off to a great start for the owner. Her case of not being a witch and not deserving of the attention she's getting is quickly just falling apart, but perhaps she can salvage it, because even if she is a practicing witchcraft or something, or a witch, or thinks she is, or a pagan, or whatever, and if her store is selling those kinds of things, as long as she's not hurting others and not, you know, abusing people and doing ritualistic sacrifices of children or things, I don't think violence is the answer or the use of government power. So let's see if the people are gathering the pitchforks or asking the county or you know, government in general to get involved, to pull their licenses, to shut this business down. Let's see why this business that's been open almost a year is suddenly coming under fire.
All of the stones are meant for some type of energy protection, energy healing.
The shop's owner, Shannon Tipton, says her interest started when she was a teen.
I was gifted my first crystal and started working with crystals then.
Now, I just wanted to pause there for a second, and we'll keep going. But I want to pause there for a second because you all can't see the shots from inside the store, but it literally has cauldrons, ravens, has the all-seeing hand symbol that has the meaning of divine right of protection or something, whatever that weird gypsum eye, whatever it's called thing is. And I want you to keep that in mind. And then she goes into that she sells crystals and herbs and spices and incense, and that she believes all has some spiritual effect on things. So I don't think she's exactly selling the whole we promise we're not practicing witchcraft thing. But also, once again, we need to get to the crux of what's going on here. Need to figure out what, you know, that doesn't mean she should be put out of business. So let's see why she came under fire here.
A couple of weeks ago, Winchester Clark County Tourism posted an aura photo event the shop was hosting. Since then, she's faced accusations.
It's been said that I'm a devil worshiping witch. I'm a satanic shop. None of that is true.
This community had a special called meeting about the shop on Tuesday. Clark County District 4 Magistrate Mark Miller sent me this statement about the meeting. It says in part, quote, "The people who object to this believe that the tourism department should not promote any business that sells witchcraft materials. Others believe that tourism should not promote any type of spiritual events."
So now we're seeing why this shop that's existed for about a year now, that no one has bothered, is suddenly coming under fire. Now, it was probably viewed as a weird store that, generally speaking, the community didn't go into. But what got the community riled up here was that the taxpayer-funded Tourism Bureau was promoting a Aurora photo event, which I guess is some sort of thing where you take a photo of your electromagnetic waves and it gives you your aurora or whatever that means. So now we see what's happened. It wasn't that this shop was just existing, minding its own business, and then suddenly came under attack. It's that taxpayer funds were used, funds meant to promote tourism into the town, into the community, to push out an event that the people of the county, the people whose money it is, took issue with. So let's hear what one of those who took issues with the money has to say. Let's see why he said, look, I don't think this is such a good idea. Let's take a listen.
Here's the number one thing. I believe anybody has a right to be able to have any business that they want to.
Grace Bible Church Pastor Lee Cruz was at Tuesday's meeting.
For tourist attractions and things, this was, we didn't feel this was necessarily the way we wanted our community to be perceived in that way. That's all we were saying.
So the pastor starts off right away by saying, look, anyone can own a business doing whatever, even if I disagree with it. Which is right. But based upon the comments on the socials on this story and what we see oftentimes when we go into this realm of people who are conservatives having opinions, what we so often see from the liberals is, oh, these conservatives shutting things down, so much for their belief in liberty and freedom and live and what live. They're just awful people, horrible humans. And, you know, this is why, as of recently, I've kind of shied away from using the term like libertarian or even liberty sometimes, because you've idiots out here like this, like these leftists that just absolutely, they're just incredibly dumb. They think if having a viewpoint, just having a viewpoint on what someone else is doing is somehow a violation of the freedom of others, and it somehow too goes against your belief of liberty and freedom. And it shows a complete lack of understanding of the Constitution. Yes, you are free to do a lot of things, as am I, but you're not free from my opinion. In fact, the way our freedoms are supposed to work and the way they're supposed to be quote unquote regulated without governmental violence and force and intervention is that my freedoms check your freedoms. It's like the regulation. So in the same way that the crystal witches, you know, cottage worship crystal store, whatever it is, the same way that someone can stand outside protesting them is the same reason that the store can exist. As long as the person protesting doesn't use violence or try to use government to shut them down, they're both doing what they should be allowed to do. And it's the regulation. The other person's free speech is the regulation on what other people do without needing to run off to the government. If you believe in liberty and freedom, if you believe in small government, if you believe in government not doing too much in our lives and getting out and less encroachment, less regulation, you must believe in freedom of speech where people get to voice opinions. You must believe that a person must have and should be loud about their opinions when it comes to places and products and businesses and people, because that's how we regulate them in lieu of the government. We let the people decide through their dollars, through their actions, through their voices. That's how it gets done. But you have just absolute morons out here that believe you can't have an original thought that they don't approve of. And if you do, somehow you're violating the Constitution or violating a principle you espouse to have if you say that you have a principle of liberty and freedom. Now on to, though, his other point about how this is just not how they want the community to be perceived. So you have the right to operate your business however you want to. But the moment now you've engaged and asked for taxpayer-funded things, taxpayer money, to come in and help promote your business or to be involved in your business, you have invited in now the opinion of others on whether or not that should happen. You don't get to just go to them and take their money. They get to have an opinion now on it. And so on top of the point he made, hey, do whatever, I just have an opinion on it, I don't want government to shut you down, he's saying, look, this is not how I want our tax dollars to be used for our community to be perceived. And so obviously if you're going to have a tourism bureau here, which, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but tourism bureaus are mostly useless and a waste of time. Why? Because the business actually making a profit should be the one promoting themselves and promoting what they're doing, not government collecting up taxes to basically be the marketing arm for private for-profit businesses. But unless these groups are actively putting on fairs and festivals for the community in order to bring outside people in, they're not even really pushing for tourism. Like, who that lives outside of Clark County was like, oh, a crystal witch taking Aurora photos in Clark County. Let's get over there and check it out. And even if there was 10 people who don't live in Clark County that now traveled into that community to get an Aurora photo taken, they aren't creating jobs in your area. They aren't contributing to your community. So if you insist on having a tourism bureau, there are obviously limits that need to be in place on which businesses they promote. After all, this is tax dollars. And this is a group who's supposed to bring in commerce to the county and help promote the area. If there was a, I don't know, a strip club in the community, if there was a strip club in town, would you want your town to be promoting that actively in their tourism? Do you want to be known as a place that has strip clubs and porn stores? I'm sure it might bring in commerce to the area. And these are businesses, after all. Should they be allowed to advertise their amateur nights on the taxpayer-funded dime through the tourism bureaus? Of course not. Unless you literally hate your community and are insane, you don't believe that the tourism bureau should be promoting things like that. So where should the line be drawn? You do agree there should be a line, but where should it be drawn? Now, in this, we saw that community people suggested that, hey, maybe we just don't promote any kind of religious events at all. And that might be a good point. We're doing for sure. But the Mystic Coven of Crystals, or whatever their name is, Cottage of Covens of Crystals, their claim is they aren't witchcraft or pagan worship and they aren't religious. And the way that headline and article are wrote, the arguments kind of against it don't really make clear. So we'll be going into that a little bit more after this short break. You listen to the Andrew Kubrater Show. And you're back with the Andrew Kubrater Show. We've been digging into this story regarding a store in Clark County that's come under fire called the Crystal Coven, which is it? The Crystal Coven Mystic Cottage is what it's called. And they say they're not witchcrafts and they're not witches, despite coven, which literally means a gathering of witches being in the name. But regardless, we've heard now from a community pastor that says, look, I just don't want my tourism dollars being spent on this. I think it's out of control. I don't think it's accurate. And that's what the community, when she started experiencing pushback, that's what they were pushing back on. We don't want our dollars to be spent funding these things. That's our belief. And so one of them said, look, we shouldn't spend money on religious things at all. But the owner of this shop, Shannon, somehow claims this isn't religious. She's not a witch, while at the same time claiming she is somehow protected under religious freedom. It gets really weird here. It's especially weird to claim you're not a religion, you don't have religious beliefs, when the word mystic is in your name, which literally means a connection to a divine power. So the name of the place, if we remove some of the words that aren't as familiar to people, so it was the Crystal Coven Mystic Cottage, but if I actually put in the definitions of this thing, it would be literally the crystal gathering of witches to connect with a divine power in a cottage. That's what their name means. That sounds pretty religious practice-y to me, and it also sounds exactly like witchcraft. So let's finish this up. Let's hear how Shannon the witch, but not the witch, but the witch, but says she's not the witch, defends her position of how she promises she isn't religious, isn't a witch, and her store should be promoted just like everyone else's. Let's hear what she has to say here.
Shannon shares she's disappointed that no one reached out to her directly. She says texts, direct messages, and emails circulated instead. She's not the only one affected.
I have folks that are afraid to come in. They're afraid that they're going to be targeted. I've had customers to be messaged, to be told that they're going to hell.
It's not so much a moral issue as I believe that the good Lord, if He wants us to bless our community and bless what we're doing, then as a result of that, we have to do the things that would bring blessings to us.
Shannon says this is an alternative practice for healing, for health. She thinks people have the wrong idea about this lifestyle.
We are all given freedoms of religion, freedoms to believe the way that we do, to be able to share what we believe in. But when we do that, we need to make sure that we are doing that in love and light, and not using those freedoms as a veil to hide behind.
So Shannon wraps up saying that she has freedom of religion and beliefs, which doesn't exactly fight the whole narrative that this is a religious witchcraft thing that the taxpayers originally had the problem with in the first place. And neither does the fact in the video really ever in the audio, maybe in the article. We see that the argument about how they're not witches isn't really made. In fact, what we actually see is a literal witch's hat that is for sale at the Coven Cottage. Like in the, you guys are hearing the audio, but in the video, we literally see a witch's hat that they're selling. But she says that if people disagree with her, well, they better be her version of nice about it, or else they're just hiding behind a thin veil of freedom of speech and religion. She said thin veil. Now, you have the freedom of speech, according to Shannon, but, you know, if you're not nice about it, then, well, you're just using that as an excuse to say something that I disagree with, because you're not being nice enough. You're just not being nice enough. So I wanted to go over that. I found that interesting. It is a good conversation on why funding of these tourism bureaus is asking for all kinds of issues all the time. The minute government gets involved in pushing private businesses, you're getting into the process of picking winners and losers. Which, oh, by the way, for you registered Republicans, in our party platform, it says, and I quote, that we as Republicans believe that the government should not be in the business of picking winners and losers. It literally says that in our party platform. And so for those of you Republicans listening to this that think to yourselves, well, economic development's great, and I love tourism bureaus, and I love all this, and I love government somehow taking money out of people's pockets and then giving it to promote private businesses. I just love that stuff. I ask you how you are a Republican when it literally goes against our platform. But speaking of Republicans and platforms and what the purpose is, I attended this event over the weekend put on by Fayette County Republican Party. It's their Lincoln Day dinner. Reagan Day dinner, I think, is what they call theirs. Some call it Lincoln, some call it Reagan, some call it both. And, you know, for those of you who've never been to one, it's a chicken dinner where a bunch of politicians get up and give speeches. Sometimes it's the ones running for offices, sometimes it's not. And at this particular event, we had some interesting speeches made and interesting points made. I'll go into, on the national level, some that were made after the break that's coming up here in about four or five minutes. But I did want to go over some of the other people who spoke. One of the first people to speak was Robert Benvenuti. And one of the things he said in his speech that I found interesting was the point of the Republican Party of Kentucky is to win elections. That was something he said, and I think that's worth dissecting or at least talking about real quick, because as I brought up into this show, the real schism going on right now in the Republican Party amongst the apparatus, amongst Republicans in general in current office seats and current positions, is what is the point of the Republican Party, or what is the point of being a Republican? Is it a team sport where throwing an R next to your name means nothing more than at some point you've thrown an R next to your name and that now you're on Team R, and therefore because you're on Team R, we support you like we would anybody else wearing the jersey of our sports team? Is that what the point of political parties are, and is that what it means to be a Republican? Or does being a Republican, and is the point of the party not to just quote-unquote win elections, but to forward the Republican Party platform? If it is to forward the Republican Party platform, well, then you have to be faced with a question. Are you forwarding the Republican Party platform when you are just winning elections for people who've thrown R's next to their name but don't forward the platform? That is the real schism. That's the real problem. And that's, I think, the conversation of our time. And that's kind of the lens I want to adopt as I talk about some of the other things, where we have to remember these people are Republicans and they're supposed to be forwarding the Republican Party platform. Now, when you go to these Lincoln Day dinners, you'll see that every single constitutional officer of Kentucky, so that's the governor, if a Republican governor was, lieutenant governor, treasurer, auditor, secretary of state, agriculture commissioner, and attorney general are constitutional officers, and they get to speak if they're Republicans at every single Republican Lincoln Day dinner. And really, that is why you see kind of like a lot of the constitutional offices that aren't governor are kind of the farm league for higher run offices on the state level, because it's a way to, a lot of people you see on there will run for Congress or Senate or governor at some point, because it's a way to get your ballot, your name on the ballot statewide. It's a way that you get to go to, you know, a Lincoln Day dinner every single weekend, pretty much, and talk to a group of 100 or 150 or so Republicans and build up your name ID with them. Things that, you know, it would be expensive to try to buy if you're going to be a quote unquote political outsider. So that's something important to see. So we did hear speeches from all the constitutional officers. I'll go over some interesting points with those. And then I will go over a video statement. I'll play a chunk of that for you that came from Rand Paul, which was interesting when you consider the fact that Andy Barr, the 6th District Congressman, the congressman over Fayette County, also spoke at this same event, and he has a diametrically completely opposed position to Rand Paul. And we'll go over what the crowd's response was and what this means for the dynamics of the Republican Party into the future. So we're going to have all that after this break here in this final segment coming up here of the Andrew Cooperator Show. As always, if you want to reach out to the show, head on over to theandrewshow.com, hit the contact tab. We'll see you back here in a few short minutes. And you're back in this final segment of the Andrew Cooperator Show, your source for Kentucky politics. So I had visit event over the weekend, and I wanted to go over some things that people had talked about in that event for those of you who are just tuning in. And I want to start off, so the constitutional officers all gave some speeches. So if I have time, I will cover those after this. But I want to start off by covering an interesting dynamic that happened between Rand Paul, followed up by Andy Barr. So Rand Paul didn't show up to the event to give a speech, but he did send a video message that was played to the group there. And a good chunk of it, like half, the tail half of it, is covering things about Fauci and COVID and holding people to account for that. And God love Rand Paul for continuing to try to do that. But that is speeches I've been hearing for a year or two. I don't know if you all have heard Rand Paul, especially during his reelection efforts in 2022, kind of giving some similar speeches. But I do want to go ahead and play for you about 3 minutes of his video message where he really lays into the Ukraine aid and the funding for Ukraine. Let's take a listen to that.
First and foremost, let me assure you that the values we hold dear in Kentucky are not forgotten in Washington, by me at least. Despite the political turmoil and partisan divides, I remain steadfast in my commitment to uphold the principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and individual liberty. Congress should be an American first legislature. We ought to solve America's problems before we think about solving the world's problems. Our federal government spending has spiraled out of control, burdening future generations with insurmountable debt. That's why I continue to lead the charge to rein in excessive spending and promote fiscal sanity in Washington. But it's not just about balancing the budget. It's about ensuring that hardworking Americans keep more of their money in their pockets rather than lining the pockets of bureaucrats or spending it on foreign countries. I recently joined a 5-day filibuster against the senators I call the America Last Caucus and their Ukraine First spending bill. Their legislation sends the message to Americans that their elected officials don't care about them, that a foreign country somehow has a priority over problems we have here at home. This Ukraine spending bill funnels $60 billion on top of the previous $113 billion directly into the coffers of a notoriously corrupt regime. One of many egregious allocations of your hard-earned money, $300 million went to help fix Ukraine's border. Meanwhile, they ignore problems on our border. I've never met any Kentuckian who says, fix the border of Ukraine before you fix our border. I don't know if you saw the illegal immigrant who assaulted a policeman in New York recently. They released him with no bail, and he walked out giving the middle finger to all of America as he passed the cameras. Now, they don't put images on the cover of legislation, but if they did put an image on the cover of this Ukraine First bill and all this money they're sending over there, they should have put the image of this punk giving the finger to America, because that's what this bill was. It was giving the finger to America. They should have put this criminal migrant who assaulted a police officer and flipped off America on the cover of their Ukraine First, America Last bill. I don't think people in Kentucky want this bill, and I will continue to fight that not one more penny of your money goes to a foreign country before we fix our border here at home. The Ukraine First bill is essentially giving the middle finger to America. This bill is the middle finger to every working man and woman in America, to every struggling family. Even if you think Ukraine is the greatest cause in the world, we're borrowing the money. There's no rainy day fund, no surplus, no reason on God's green earth we should borrow money from China to send it to Ukraine. We have so many problems to deal with in our country and along our border that we should fix first. We should prioritize our own problems rather than other nations' problems. My oath of office and my first responsibility are to our country and to Kentucky. The elites in Washington fail to understand the American people want to put America first.
So that's pretty powerful words. I mean, Rand Paul sitting there saying that they're literally giving the middle finger to the Americans, to America, putting America last. He called the senators the America Last Caucus. And we know he's most likely referencing Mitch McConnell in that. And whether you agree with the Ukraine aid funding or not, which, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. There was a poll done in April that found over 60% of Republicans oppose more money to Ukraine. And the reasons why they would feel that way aren't hard to guess. Mostly because we've been at it for years. Nobody has really conceptualized a really good reason why we're there. You know, they forward ideas like, oh, we got to stop Russia here. And, you know, do we? I mean, what is the actual chances that Russia ends up invading like more European countries? Like, if we don't stop Ukraine, it stopped Russia and Ukraine. Is Russia going to invade like Germany next or something? And I'm not going to go into geopolitics and world history, but there are some different reasons why Russia would invade Ukraine and not invade the rest of Europe. Just because he invaded Ukraine, it doesn't necessarily indicate that that Putin there is trying to take over the world per se, but he could be. I'm not saying there's no chance. I'm just saying that we haven't really heard a good conceptualized reason why America specifically should be shelling out billions of dollars in this cause. I mean, countries are invaded or taken over or have violent revolutions all the time across the world. It happens literally all the time. And America, most of the time, doesn't get involved in those conflicts, but suddenly we find ourselves involved in this one. So that's part of the reason why. But the other reason is because it's kind of seeming to be an endless black pit of spending for some Republicans. Like I said, whether you support the Ukraine funding or not, it doesn't per se matter to our discussion here. What matters is that a large amount of Republicans oppose this. And what matters is that you can understand that, you know, they haven't been told why we're there. We haven't been given an off ramp. We haven't been given a goal, even like when do we stop spending money there? And then meanwhile, I'm just going to be honest. A lot of people are struggling to put food on the table. We've had some pretty massive inflation over the last 5 years. Americans have less and less money. We have more and more debt personally. We have more and more debt as a nation, and we can't get it done. But what's interesting is that following that Rand Paul video, Andy Barr gets up in person to give a speech. And Andy Barr voted for this aid package to Ukraine and even defended it on Twitter, saying that it needed to be done. So you'd think somebody who feels so strongly voted for it and actually defended it on Twitter after having seen that video calling out the funding is putting America last, he would stand up and want to defend his position, as he's, one, falling out of favor with a lot of people, but two, and importantly, we all know that Andy Barr is eyeing up running for that McConnell Senate seat in 2026. And so having to be known as like, oh, that's just like another McConnell who has horrible, horrible approval ratings in Kentucky, even amongst Republicans, horrible approval ratings. Like, you don't want to be known as the next McConnell. The only reason why McConnell continues to hold his seat is because he has a wonderful powers as an incumbent. A lot of money comes with that, and a lot of name ID, a lot of comfortability. Devil you know is better than the devil you don't. But you can't be McConnell without being incumbent McConnell and expect to win an election in this modern times. Can't happen. So it leaves a question about why would you continue to do this and drive people apart? You should have a vibrant defense for what you've done, but Andy Barr got up there and he said nothing. And what's crazy is the same people that nodded along and clapped when Rand Paul said that we shouldn't be sending money to Ukraine, we're putting America last, it's a middle finger, clapped when Andy Barr got up there. And was very excited to see him nodding along to points he was making. And that, I think, is an overall conversation about the state of our politics. Why do we keep getting what we're getting? Because you people that would agree with what Rand Paul just said, yeah, they're putting America last. Yes, this needs to change. And then turn around, clap for, most likely vote for, Andy Barr, who literally voted the opposite direction. And it makes no sense about what we're doing here. What are we doing? Are we suicidal as voters? I don't know sometimes. Well, y'all, that's what I got time for today on the Andrew Kubrick Show. We'll be back here tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.